all that I can be. And maybe one day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself and learn to fly?
Aloha, I am your host, May Leilani, and this is the Universal Spiritual Connection, a place of shared unity and equal common ground for all peoples and cultures, a unity not built on separation and blindness, but a solid foundation built on respect for all walks of life, molded by the thirst of the people for change. In unity, bridging the gap, for we are the voice of we the people. Mahalo to all the listeners of Pal Talk and BBSRadio.com. Our call-in numbers are toll-free, 888-389-3452 and 877-489-6350. Our direct lines, same area code, is 530-776-5144 or 776-5154 and 413-4511. It is truly an honor to be with each and every one of you this evening. I have personally been really looking forward to the show and our guests for this evening. And before I share information about our guests for this evening, I would like to make an announcement that I have opened the show up for any advertisers or sponsorships with the Universal Spiritual Connection. If you'd like to contact me, the number is 480-255-6198 or at email imdivinelight@aol.com. So with on that note, I'd love to share this wonderful information with all of you tonight. As you all may know, our title for tonight's show is Choosing Me Before We. And I got to tell you guys, I have really sunk my teeth into this book, and it is a hot one. And that is not even giving this book justice. It is incredibly packed with insightful, empowering tools that we can really utilize in our everyday lives, and it's about time we've had a book that came out with this type of event, and we are going to be able to explore this book together tonight as a family. With that, our guest for this evening is Christine Arlo. And after watching people all around her literally dying to be their real selves, Christina decided she needed to do something to help people create the lives they really wanted versus the ones they found themselves trapped in. I know you guys know what we're talking about when we say trapped in, because I have spent many years feeling trapped myself. So she quit her six-figure corporate job, started a life coaching company, Dare to Live You, and finished her first book, Choosing Me Before We. In 2008, Christine founded an online no-taboo talk community for women called Girl Talk, Taking It Deeper. And I'd like to share that website link with all of you, and it is www.letsgirltalk.com, featuring real, intimate, daring conversations about the things that matter most to women. An entrepreneur at heart, she also launched a boutique line of clothing and jewelry called Madly in Love with Me. You gotta love that title. To inspire women to remember to love themselves too. Christine can be found across the country leading workshops for women and girls, inspiring women to stop living the image and start living the real you. Her message and opinions have been heard across the coast of California to the heart of the Midwest and featured with organizations such as the International Museum of Women, Gap, Inc., and top radio stations across the country for 13 years before claiming her role as an inspirational catalyst. Christine was an expert marketer building brand images for companies like Gap, Visa, and Frito-Lay. She holds an MBA from Northwestern Kellogg School of Management and was trained and certified as a coach through one of the leading coaching programs at the Coaches Training Institute. Christine has completed a number of rigorous and challenging personal development programs all over the world. She continues to live a life of exploration into truth and new possibility, believing that one can only take people as far as she herself has gone and as far as they are willing to go. The person by view of you dare to live you show this radio. As you all know, I have a wealth of information about our guests, and we are continuously posting up the information for your convenience. So let's all give Christine a warm welcome to the show. Hello, Christine.
Hello, great to be here. Thanks so much for having me on.
I am so thrilled. And first, before we get started, I have to say it is truly an honor to actually meet you, be in the presence of you. I am so incredibly grateful that we have someone such as yourself that really took the time to really write this incredible book titled Choosing Me Before We.
Well, it was such a joy for me to write over the course of 4 years, but every time I sat down to work on the book, I literally just thought to myself, if I can reach one person out there and help them find more love in their life, then I will have been successful in my endeavor. So it was a lot of hard work, and I'm glad to be talking to you now and knowing that the word is getting out there.
Eddie?
Hello?
You right now?
Oh, there you go. You're cutting in and out. Or maybe I'm cutting
live
in
radio.
And out.
Oh, there you are.
The audience is cutting in and out.
Yeah, you're still cutting out on me. But we're going to, I know my technician is working on it, so we'll just let him do his thing. And I want to let all of our listeners, well, we personally want to thank
one day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself and learn to fly? I've always heard that mirrors never lie, but that's not true because I see a man.
And welcome back to the Universal Spiritual Connection. I want to thank all our listeners for your patience, and we do sincerely apologize for our technical difficulties that we are having on our end. But guess what? We are back rolling live with all of you. Our guest for this evening is Christine, and we're talking about her wonderful book titled Choosing Me Before We. And so, Christine, I wanted to tell you that when I actually read your book, I actually started really working on a lot of the tools that you have given us, and I have to say it has personally changed my life. I also have realized that I perceive myself very differently now, and also my external world. Thank you for that.
Absolutely. I am one of the reasons I wrote the book the way that I did, full of lots of questions that I call me reflections, was because I do really believe that we have the answers inside of ourselves. And sometimes we just need someone to ask us a question that opens up a door that we never knew was there.
That's right. And you know, and it's really interesting as well, because as I started diving into your book, you know, I started reflecting back on when I was being raised, you know, and I can't speak for everybody, but, you know, just through my own observation as I interact with people from all over the world, it seems to be a very common denominator that I'm, you know, from many people.
And so I think that common denominator that you were talking about, I think what you were mentioning was around the illusions that we all end up with. They're almost like they're programmed in our DNA. And there's all these things that I found that people just didn't know about the relationships that they were having, because they were things that we saw our parents do, they were things that we saw society do, and we just keep creating the same patterns over and over and over again. So when I wrote the book, one of my intentions was to actually have questions and actually have exercises that would help people expose the patterns that they were recreating in the relationships that were making them unhappy.
Absolutely. Tell us a little bit how you got started on this journey, and that was a big key for me that really helped to unlock the door, so to speak, for myself and give myself that permission to really look at me for a change. And I mean, seriously,
yeah.
Look at myself.
Well, you know, I always say that our stories may have different details, but they're so similar really in what they're all about. And for me, my story went like this. I was 30 years old, seemingly on top of the world, and, you know, getting my MBA, rising marketing executive, I had the big house, I had the big car, the big bling bling ring, and everything was going exactly as it should be going. Until, on the way to my engagement party with my boyfriend of 15 years, he stopped the car about 2 blocks from my mother's house and announced to me that he no longer loved me, he no longer wanted to marry me, and oh, by the way, he had been cheating on me for the last 6 months. And, you know, I wish I could tell you, looking back now, that, you know, I punched him in the face and I said, I don't need you, I'm out of here, I'm a strong woman, I don't need a man. And it wasn't what I did. Instead, what I did is I looked at him and I said, you know, that's great, but we have a party to go to and we'll fix this later. Because for me, not to live in the image that I had created was not an option. And for me to actually think of even being alone without this person, although I had tons of self-confidence, I didn't love myself and I was afraid to be alone. And so being with him was more important to me than being with myself. And I went on a 2-week journey to beg this man to take me back. It was the lowest point of my life ever. And then I did something very wise and reached out to a woman about 40 years older than me. She said to me, honey, you can chase this man around for the next 20 years and you'll be miserable, or you can leave and your life will open up into ways you could never imagine. And on her advice, I left, moved in with my girlfriend, and made a promise to myself to never settle again for less than I wanted. And I haven't, 8 years later still, to this day.
Well, you know what really comes to mind? What really comes to mind as well, Christine, is that when, you know, with you sharing that with all of us tonight, is that you... What I found is this book addresses every aspect of our lives, because where you have really dove into in writing this book, it's about really examining ourselves as individuals and how our relationship is, not only with ourselves, but, you know, with our friends, our families, the way we operate on our everyday life.
Yeah, I mean, we're so programmed to live into the life that we think we should be living that we so often don't actually stop to take a pause and say, what's the life I really want? And who do I want to be in relationship, whether it is with our friends or with a, you know, a romantic partner or even, you know, our relatives? And I wrote the book from that place that you really do have to know yourself and love yourself and honor yourself and trust yourself first, before you could ever hope to have the life or the love that you really want, the one that you really want, not the one we sometimes find ourselves stuck in.
That's absolutely right, because not only do I see women, but I also see men as well, or even in our relationships with our jobs, or the way we interact just in life in general, we're constantly... cutting ourselves short. We're settling for second best, and a lot of it has to do with, you know, not really understanding who we are and our own personal dynamics of what makes us, you know, as individuals.
Yeah, I mean, there. It's true. It's the component of it, actually knowing who you are in your soul, who you are, you know, what your emotions are, what your dreams are, what you truly want out of your life. You know, we don't need to be in relationship. It's not mandatory that we have a partner. We choose a partner because, or we choose a friend, or we choose a job, or whatever we choose to bring into our lives, we choose it because it should make our life better. And if it doesn't make our life better, then what the heck is it doing there? But oftentimes we keep it. We keep it because we believe that we have to settle.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, there's a lot of times when I'm teaching classes, you know, with the students that come in, you know, I give them this one important question to always ask themselves. Does this person, place, or situation enhance who I am? Mm-hmm. And, you know, even though we're evolving, you know, because obviously I'm not the same person I was a year ago, you know, you're constantly having to really dive in and ask yourself those questions, because everything outside of us should enhance who we are today.
Absolutely, and I think it's a question that we should ask ourselves, you know, forever. It isn't like one day you end up at the magical land of self-evolution and all of a sudden, you know, I'm done, I love myself, you know, game over. It really is this kind of constant asking yourself, because we do evolve and the people that we're in relationship evolve. And what I'm really asking people to do is to be aware of what you want and what's going on in your life, and noticing if there's a difference. And knowing that you're the only one that can make that difference smaller. And knowing that you deserve, I mean, every person on this planet deserves to have what their heart and soul desires. And I really do believe that we can all have it when we know what it is and we're willing to stand up and claim it and take it.
Absolutely. And absolutely. I knew I was just going to love you.
Well,
I dive right in, right? Go ahead, honey.
Well, I was listening, and it's, you know, here's the thing, it's not easy. You know, people always ask me, well, what, Christine, are the five, you know, easy steps to, you know, loving yourself or getting the relationship you want or any of these things? And I think if it was easy, we'd all be doing it. So, you know, it is hard to go against the limitations that we've always believed are true as a society. It is hard to go up against what everyone around you might be believing, but you know there's something different in your heart. It is hard, but you know what? It's possible. And I've done it. I've coached many people to do it. I've seen people who have done it. That's how I even realized that there was an option. And so if you're waiting for the day when it's going to feel comfortable or that it's going to be easy, you're going to be waiting a lifetime. But if you actually jump in and you're willing to do what's the hard work to get there and you're willing to be uncomfortable, you can have a life and a relationship that you could have never even imagined before you stepped into it. And that's what I want for people.
Absolutely. I know I've wanted, you know, I have searched for years for that for myself, and I've even heard people say, well, you know, you got to start with loving yourself. So I said, okay, well, how does one know that, you know, that you actually love yourself? What does that look like? How is that expressed on a daily basis? And you know, and many people weren't able to actually give that to me. But, you know, as I started diving into this, you know, I found that there were hidden aspects of myself that was way deep down inside of me that I really started drawing forward. And I was going, oh my goodness, you know, basically just being kind to self. But you personally have brought in some really powerful tools that you have shared in this book. Can you give us some of those tools that you have recommended?
Sure, absolutely. You know, I think there's a couple things I would say. One is that part of loving yourself is being absolutely honest with yourself. And self-honesty is not always easy. In fact, sometimes it's brutally honest and not easy to swallow. But I do believe that we all have the capacity to be honest with ourselves. And so I think one of the first pieces is asking yourself in any situation in which you may not feel happy or may feel sad, what am I not being honest with myself about? Or ask the question, what's true here? What's really the truth, no matter how hard it is for me to see what is true? And I think what happens for people sometimes in trying to answer that question is that they get confused between their fear and what their fear has to say and what their intuition has to say. And so that second piece of advice I often give to people on the journey of loving yourself is learn to know the voice of your intuition. We all have one. It's our best friend. It's our North Star, and it never lies to us. So it's very helpful on that truth journey. And the difference between your intuition, you know, intuition is something you feel or you know or you see or you sense. You know, we always know. And to really start developing that relationship with it and start to trust it so that as you do step into bigger and bigger situations, you can find your intuition and its voice is stronger than your fear. So being able to discern between your fear's voice and your intuition's voice is a big one.
I would agree with you on that. So let me ask you this question then. How does one fall in love with self?
Well, I think it's a process. I think it's something that you do for your entire life. So there aren't five easy steps to loving yourself. But what there is a promise, a vow, I do want to be on a love affair with me. And what I often say to people is I wish I could give you a one-sentence definition, like you were saying, for self-love. I don't have one of those yet. I'm still working on that. What I do know is that the current definition of self-love in the dictionary is narcissism. And I think that's what stops a lot of us, even though we may not believe that self-love is narcissism, it's in our society's DNA and it's in our DNA. So part of loving yourself is knowing that you deserve to love yourself and knowing that to love yourself is not selfish, that in fact it's the most selfless thing that you can do because the more you love you, the more you can love others. So great, so what does that mean? Well, I often say that it's actually easier sometimes to see what isn't self-love than what self-love is. So for example, one component of loving yourself is only being in relationship with people who can unconditionally love you back and not putting yourself into any kind of relationship that is harmful, that is disrespectful, that dishonors you in any way, that is abusive verbally, emotionally, mentally, that doesn't 100% honor the beautiful person you are. That's a big piece of loving yourself.
And, you know, I can almost feel some people out there that's listening kind of squirming a little bit because that's deep. I mean, because a lot of times people will self-talk themselves, or, you know, it's okay, he or she didn't mean it, you know, how we do that self-dialogue, right?
We do it all the time. I mean, I was in my relationship for 15 years. It was verbally abusive and emotionally abusive, but because I wasn't being hit, I thought, well, it's not an abusive relationship. And because I needed him to love me so much, I believed that, you know, our love could prevail over anything. And even though it was abusive, an abusive relationship, I stayed because of the love. And it's something that I really talk to people about, is that love is not enough of a reason to stay in a relationship. In fact, it often is a trap. And that once we love somebody, we don't fall out of love. Love's forever. But we fall out of respect, and we fall out of intimacy, and we fall out of trust, and we fall out of deep friendship. And those are the things that you have to demand in your relationships with people, whether they're your family, your friends, or your partner. Respect and trust and intimacy and friendship. And if you don't have those things in your, if you don't have those things in your relationship, you deserve to ask for them. And if you can't, if they can't give them to you and you can't give them to them, you really need to ask if this is a relationship you want to continue. Or you need to figure out together how to shift that.
This is good stuff. I knew I was just going to love you.
I love being loved. It's all about the love, Leilani. It's all about the love. It's all about spreading
the
love.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, it's really interesting because when we're being raised, you know, within the family dynamics, we're not taught these things, how to truly learn to love ourselves first.
And no, we don't talk about it at all, which is why we have a society of people walking around who, you know, who don't. And even in today's society, you know, I'm 38 years old, so I grew up in the 70s and the 80s before self-esteem was really big. I just happened to be, gratefully, I was born with a lot of that. But, you know, just because I had self-esteem, and we're raising a lot of, you know, girls and boys today to have self-esteem, it's not enough. Self-esteem will give you confidence. It will make you able to succeed in your job and in college and in those kinds of things, to believe that, you know, you can have anything. But it doesn't teach you self-love, which is really about believing that you believe you deserve to be honored and respected, that you're sacred, that you are deserving of love, that you have permission to be who you are 100% without apology and never settle for less. That's what self-love is about. And that's what we need to be talking about in teaching ourselves and teaching our children.
So for those that may well think, well, that's a bit selfish, don't you think? What would you say to those individuals?
I would say I've heard that a lot, and I think it's a very common belief that self-love and loving yourself to that, you know, to that excess is selfish. And I would say that I think it's a false belief. I think it's something that we have believed for a long time that is part of the reason why we have some of the problems that we do in the world. And that if you think about it, even logically, the more you love yourself, the more you are free to love other people. The more you take care of yourself, the more that you can take care of other people. We would never, ever tell someone we love, hey, you, don't love yourself. That's selfish. You know, so they're like, no, love yourself. We want you to love yourself. Same thing applies for us.
Oh, that's so true. That's so incredibly true.
It's kind of crazy when you think about it.
Well, it is. It absolutely is. Where were you 8 years ago, young lady? I could have.
I was just waking up and pulling off all the bricks that had fallen on top of me when my relationship crumbled around me, and starting, you know, my healing journey. And, you know, I grew up in the Midwest. We didn't have healers. We didn't talk about healing. We didn't even talk about our emotions. We don't have those, you know. And when I started kind of realizing, wow, maybe the life I've been living isn't really how it's supposed to be, people around me would say, oh, you know, I was in therapy. I had three therapists working on me at one time. And I remember my family saying to me, oh, you know, we don't tell people our problems. And I'm like, well, maybe you don't, but that's why I'm in this situation in the first place. So I now tell people my problems, and they're going to help me. And they did. And I think that's part of the journey.
that's a very important key right there, is because, you know, that, you know, even when I was growing up, you didn't discuss it. Even when I would approach, you know, one-on-one with my own mother and ask her these types of questions, you know, she'd either say, it's, you know, you're not old enough, it's none of your business, or you wouldn't understand. I mean, there was all these reasons why she couldn't really sit down and talk to me about these things. Now, of course, when I was raising my own son, I handled that a lot differently and took the time out to really talk about these things with him. And he grew up to be a well-rounded young man.
Well, and I think, and you know, what you're talking about is so important. It's, you know, it's one of the reasons I wrote this book and why I love working with younger kids, is that if we just talked to each other as generations, you know, if we, the older people talk to the younger people, and the younger people talk to the older people, we could stop repeating these ridiculous patterns that we've had in our society and in our lives for centuries. And I believe that because of where we're at in the world right now, where everything's falling apart anyway, that it's a time of transformation, and we all have the opportunity to break the limitations and old beliefs that were once keeping us trapped.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And I've been on that mission for quite some time. And it's, and you know, realistically, it's about my own self-heal to get to become my very best friend and to really love me as a person. It was really interesting because I told an individual this about 3 weeks ago, and I said, I actually said to the individual, I said, why would you want to compromise yourself as an individual? You know, you have to, it's important for you to start looking at yourself and saying, what is it that I truly desire in my heart? And you cannot expect yourself to give out a side of yourself until you possess it for yourself as an individual.
And what did that person say?
Said, I've got some homework to do. And I said, well, don't think of it as homework. Think about it as having a great relationship with yourself.
It doesn't have to be work. It's actually a joy that we get to evolve and to find out who we are. It's hard sometimes, but it can actually be a lot of fun and very rewarding.
I agree with that, because as I've been on this journey, you know, I've actually learned, I like what I see as a person. I like who I am. You know, I've had comments from others where they don't necessarily like the way I speak, or whatever the case is. Well, that's me. And that's the way I feel good about myself as a person, and because I can't be anything else but who I am.
Well, and that's the whole thing, you know, when I talk about self-love, part of loving yourself is being yourself 100% without apology. And that doesn't mean don't have responsibility for your impact, because you do have to, you know, loving your, it's not, the book's not called Choosing Me Instead of We, it is Before Me. And part of loving yourself is loving others and being in community with people. But it doesn't mean that you have to be smaller or be less than. Be yourself 100%. Some people can handle it, and some people can't.
That's right. So let me ask you this then, Christine. What are some of the biggest lies that we tell ourselves about relationships?
Well, you are talking to the former queen of illusion here on the phone. I am, and the coach of many fellow illusioners. And here's the thing: a lot of us, we create the relationship in our head that we think we're having versus the one that's really happening. And I think that one of the biggest lies that people will tell themselves is, "He will change or she will change for me. I can fix them." And that's such a trap and such a lie, because the truth is that no one changes for anyone else. No matter how much they love you or how much they don't, love has nothing to do with it. People change because they want to. Because being more of who you are and making changes in yourself is hard work. So that's number one. Number two piece of it is that if you're busy fixing everybody else around you, it is a good sign that you're avoiding something that needs to be fixed in your own life. It's a convenient distraction.
Can you say that one more time?
If you are about the business of fixing people in your life, you know, it might be your partner, it might be your parents, it might be whoever. Usually people who are fixers are fixing everyone. But if there's anyone in your life that you're trying to fix, it's usually an indication that there's something inside of yourself that needs to be fixed, that you're not looking at.
Very powerful statement. But please continue.
Well, and, you know, that's a hard pill to swallow. Like I said, I was the former queen of fixers. And when you're in that moment, you think, oh, well, I can see what you can be. You know, I see this for you. And a lot of people fall into the trap of being with somebody in a romantic relationship because of their potential. Because 10% of the time they show up as the person that they could be, that we would want them to be. And the thing is you cannot be in a relationship with someone because of their potential. Just like loving yourself, when you love yourself, you have to love yourself for who you are right now. When you're in a relationship, you have to love that person for who they are right now. Don't marry their potential. Don't date their potential. Date the person they are.
Yes. Wow. That's heavy.
Well,
and
it's true.
It.
You know, the truth is powerful. And it's a lot of times we end up in relationships where we're disappointed in people, where we are hurt. And I know for myself and in my relationships, oftentimes people will say, well, I can't believe that guy dumped you, 2 hours before your engagement party. What a jerk. And I say to them, it would be convenient for me and easy to say, yeah, he was a real jerk. And, frankly, breaking up with me right before the engagement party was a little dramatic, but it was my own fault. It was my own fault because two things. One, I didn't listen to him. I was trying to fix everything, so lie number one. And then lie number two, I believed him to be someone other than who he truly was. I painted this picture of him and put him on a pedestal, and people do that all the time. And it's not the person who's hurt you's fault that you put them on that pedestal. It's your own fault for not seeing them for who they actually are.
That's right. And even still today, I see a lot of that going on. A lot. So let me ask you this very important question, okay? So do you feel that our media has portrayed love leads to the unattainable standards among the women?
Well, sure. I mean, we've had fairy tales. It's not just the media. Probably before even the media came along, right? There's been Prince Charming and Cinderella. So, the stories and the fables and the movies and we watch them. Here's the thing. We watch things like The Bachelor. We watch things like He's Just Not That Into You, because I do really believe that desperately we all want love. We all want to be loved, and that's a good thing. It's a good thing to want to be loved, but we're looking for it in the wrong place. So when we're watching television shows or movies, when we see that romantic ideal, it hits a chord in us because we really want that. And the thing is that you have to get it from yourself first, and then you can get it from somebody else. And so, the movies, it doesn't happen that way in real life. And if you're feeling when you're watching these things that there's something missing, it's probably because there's something missing in you. If you're watching it and you cry because your heart opens up and, you're just like, because there is a whole lot of love there, that's okay. I still cry at romantic movies. I cry at Hallmark commercials. But it's because it opens my heart, not because I'm longing for something I don't have. And that's the difference. The longing is the piece that I think is unhealthy and points to something inside of us we have to deal with.
Yes, I agree with that wholeheartedly. So let me ask you this then, Christine, because I see a lot of women, they'll get involved with relationships, and I've been one of them, okay? So I don't want anyone to think that I don't stand beside them in this situation, because it's not true. where, you know, the man all of a sudden breaks up with the woman and she's, you know, having fits and crying and carrying on. So what does that give us? What does that tell us of what's really going on? Where the woman feels like she has to have him back, and she'll go through great expense to try and draw him back to her.
Well, sure. I mean, when that happens to you, it feels, at least it felt like for me, and I've witnessed this in many of my friends and many of my clients, it feels like basically someone reached in and grabbed your heart and just took it out of your chest. And it's painful. It's really painful. And I think where we get mixed up and where we go to that place of begging and pleading and being ridiculous and crazy to try to get this person back is that we think that the hole that we're feeling is because that person isn't there. And that's actually not true. What's happening is there is grieving going on because of the loss of a relationship, and that's just true in any time a relationship ends. But that really intense pain where you feel like you're going to die and you feel like there's something missing inside, that's because you're not there. And it has oftentimes when we're in relationships, I have yet to meet a person who hasn't had a codependent relationship. When you're feeling that kind of intense pain, it's usually because you've just left a codependent relationship where you've actually stuffed the person that you were with into your own emotional holes. So when that person leaves, the pain you're feeling is your own emotional holes. And we want then to go back and get that thing to fill those holes back up because it hurts so much. But we can't do that. So you got to say no to stuffing you in my hole and actually going in and healing your holes. And that's why people end up recreating the same relationship over and over again. Maybe it's a different person because they find someone else to stuff in those same emotional holes. And only you can heal those.
That's right.
And we all have to. We all have to. I mean, I haven't met a person yet. You know, it's my Swiss cheese theory. Did you read it? I'm assuming you read about my Swiss cheese theory, which is we're all born like pieces of cheddar cheese. We're all nice and smooth and pretty and whole. WHOLE, and then there are lives that happens, and we get packed up like a piece of cheddar or a piece of Swiss cheese, and some of us have deeper holes than others, and we have to go back as adults or as, you know, young adults and older adults and go back and fill those holes in and fill them in with love and healing, not with codependent things like relationships or chocolate or, you know, television. pick your addiction.
Wow, I knew. Oh, and I've got another question for you. So what is it with us women? Why do we find it so difficult to put me first before the we?
It is in our DNA. I swear it is. From, you know, if you look back to our mothers and their mothers and their mothers, it's like this, the lineage that we've been handed down to say there is honor and valor and sacrificing yourself so much and giving so much that there's nothing else left. And that is a lineage that we no longer need to pass down because, you know what, there isn't any valor in it. There isn't any honor in it. What it is it makes us tired, it makes us sick, and it makes us resentful. And there's a different way. There's a way that we keep filling ourselves up, that we give to ourselves, that we nurture ourselves, that we believe, yes, I need to take care of my body. I need to take care of my spirit. I deserve to take care of my mind. And we give to ourselves so we can fill ourselves up enough to be able to also give to the people that we love. But we have to be full in order to give and stop trying to give from this place of total emptiness, where we believe that there's some honor and sacrifice, because there's not.
So in your book on page 67, I'd like to share this with the listeners, if I may, because you have three questions here that are very important questions, you know, for all of us to ask ourselves. And number one is, do I love me, all of me, completely, all the time? Number two is, am I committed to my personal happiness? Three is, how do my actions and beliefs support my answers, or do they contradict them? And as I started diving into these questions, I really got stuck with the number one, which is, you know, do I love me and all of me? And I stayed there for a long time, really wanting to know, do I really love myself? And if so, in what ways was I expressing that true love for me?
The reason I wrote the question that way is, do I love me, all of me, completely all the time? Is because it's easy to love the things about ourselves that are great and that we get acknowledgement for and that, you know, look on the outside like we're successful. Oh, great, you're smart. Oh, great, you're pretty. Oh, great, you know, you're this or that. But in order to really love yourself, you have to love all of yourself. And that means the parts that are the light and the parts that are the dark. And especially in those moments, you know, when you're in a, when you are, you know, you've done something that you're beating yourself up for, or you're in what I call the self-love dumpster, where you just are like down on yourself, or you're having self-doubt. Those are the moments that you actually need self-love the most. To be able to look at yourself and say, wow, I love you even though you're not showing up as your most happy, brightest self right now. I can love you this way. Because that's what love is. Love is loving all of you, not just the parts that are easy to swallow, not just the parts that are pretty, but the parts that, you know, in the deepest crevices of your soul, loving that person, because that's what allows that parts of you to heal. Those, you know, those Swiss cheese holes. You got to love those because that's what's actually going to allow you to heal. And I think
and
one
if
of the...
Go ahead, Christina. I apologize.
Oh, no, it's okay. I was going to answer. I think, you know, one of the hardest things for us to do, and this goes to loving ourselves, in all of ourselves, is forgiving ourselves. I say that, you know, it took me about a year or a year and a half to forgive my ex-person for what happened, and it took me about 5 to 6 years to forgive myself. And I think we are extremely hard on ourselves. And it's part of the definition of not loving yourself is how hard we are on ourselves. And so being able to forgive yourself for decisions you made that maybe didn't honor you, or that maybe places where you settled, or maybe where you put yourself into a relationship or a situation that was really bad for you, you got to go in and love that girl too, or that woman, or that boy, or that man, whatever that piece is of you.
Yes, yes, yes. Let's talk a little bit about your workshops, and we'll get back to the book if we may, because you are actually having workshops all over the world. So share a little bit about that with all of us and the link as well, if you would, Christine.
Sure. A couple of different things. One is I love working with younger women because I really believe that it's powerful to be able to help them get the answers that I never had and we never had until we got older. We had to learn them the hard way. So I have something called Generation Wise, which is part of Let's Girl Talk, where I go out and we talk to girls of all different ages and give them the opportunity to ask us anything. And we talk back and forth about the things that they want to know and that we want to know so that we can stop recreating those patterns. So everything from, you know, you would imagine boys to relationship to sex to intuition to our periods, or as they call them now, their dots, which I think is really funny. So I do a lot of those. And who knew? Who knew? I do all those kinds of workshops. They're very insightful, actually. I was just spent the weekend with a bunch of 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, and they wanted to talk about intuition. And I have a whole chapter in the book about intuition because I think as women especially, we've turned it off. We don't listen to it. So I asked them, I said, well, do you know who here knows what intuition was? 120 girls. Not one raised their hand. Not one. And I live in California where, you know, intuition should be like, we always talk about these things, not like growing up in the Midwest. I was shocked. But I also wasn't shocked because I find that that's what I'm teaching a lot of women in their 30s and their 40s and their 50s and then in their 20s, frankly, too, is how to trust the feminine in them. So on the flip side, I also spend a lot of time with women who I call us recovering achievement junkies, but the type A woman trying, who's in, you know, here's the good thing about being a 21st century woman. We can do anything. We have built a world where anything is possible, but now we feel pressure to do everything. And so I work with a lot of women, helping them really redefine what success and happiness looks like for them, so they can stop trying to find balance, which I believe is an unattainable goal, and start creating harmony in their lives and start giving themselves a break and actually, you know, lowering their expectations to not be, have to be Wonder Woman and just be okay with being themselves.
Yes.
Because that's enough. Because it's enough.
That's right. It is, isn't it?
It is, and it's a really, it's a hard thing for us to learn. I mean, I think it's one of the key lessons we all have as human beings to learn, is that what, it's not what we do that makes us lovable, it's just being who we are. And that goes for love that we have for ourselves, as well as getting love from anybody else, but it starts with loving ourselves just because we're who we are, not because of anything we do. And as a former achievement, you know, a recovering achievement junkie, I'm still learning that lesson. Like, daily I have to remind myself of that.
Well, I really would like for you to start sending me press releases, because I really support the work you're doing. It, to me, is absolutely just amazing. I'm so glad to know that there's someone on this planet that's really dove into some really hardcore areas that it's about time. It's very refreshing for me to see someone that has taken that much time into really dedicating themselves to women. But with that said, I'd like to ask, are you also considering doing classes for men as well? Because I see a lot of men compromising as well.
Yeah, I mean, I also work with men. I have male clients and female clients, and I find that that there's different types of situations. So sometimes when you're working with all women, there's something that happens for women when they come together. So I do like to do a lot of my sessions specifically focused on women. But my husband is also a coach, and is also there's a lot of work with men. And so together we actually do some work with both men and women, and we find that when we do it together as a couple, we either work with couples or we work with, you know, people who are non-couples. It actually gives a really good dynamic, because there's challenges that men face because of society, and there's challenges that women face because of society. And I often joke that it's not about that men are so different and women are so different. Like, you know that book where that men are from Mars and women are from Venus? I'm from the wrong planet, according to that book. And so I think I guess I'm a man. And so, you know, I don't believe in stereotypes, and I don't think it's helpful to say, well, men are this way and women are this way. And I think what is helpful is to look at people as individuals, and then also to say, yeah, and there are things our society has created as structures that make us try to live into these images, and those are the things that we have to bust apart for each man and for women and together.
Well, please make sure that you send me press releases on your workshops and so forth. I would really like to give the listeners of the show that opportunity to really dive in. This is one of my passions, is to really empower people and to let go of the programming and the feeling less than and the low self-esteem. Cause, you know, one of the saddest things for me to observe is when a woman, and I mean this with the utmost respect, because I appreciate my sisters out there, and that's when we choose to degrade ourselves as women. And women, to me, are... they're so beautiful, they're talented, they're very loving and nurturing, and it just is a nice to have a place to go where, you know, they can start really tuning into themselves, and it's a long time coming.
It is. You know, I think that there's a word that really sums up everything that you're talking about, and that word for me, and the word that I want women to really, and girls to start saying, is sacred. We are sacred. Our bodies are sacred, our hearts are sacred, our souls are sacred, our spirits are sacred, our minds are sacred, and it's a word that hasn't, up until this time, I think, really been able to be in the mainstream, nor could we say it in a way that's really about love and not about religion. That, you know, it's about, God, if my body and my soul and my spirit are sacred, won't I treat it so much differently than if it wasn't?
Yes. I'd like to share this, if I may, with the listeners, and it's on page 61, and it's saying, the title of the subtitle is called Uncovering the Victim, and it says, list all the ways in which you felt like a victim in your relationships. What are the common themes? As you answer the following questions, notice that other themes emerge. Number two is, when have you chosen to see your guy or woman as someone other than who he or she truly is? Maybe you had expectations he or she could not consistently meet that left you feeling bad or mad. And it goes on like that. When you buy this book, Choosing Me Before We, really take the time now to answer these questions and take your time, because I realized that I was being truly my very best friend, that I was really plugging in into appreciating and learning to really love myself as an individual. And I was amazed on how much I truly learned about myself as an individual, even though I knew a lot about myself as an individual. Miracles began to emerge where I started to uncover so much more about myself as a woman, as a person on this planet, and my interactions and relationships outside of myself. And so I'd like to share that website with all of you, and that is daretoliveyou.com. And as many of you are aware of, we'll have that information posted for an additional week before I host the shows for April. So go and explore. And is there a contact where they can ask you questions, Christine?
Yeah, my email address is on the website. We also have a monthly topic a monthly topic on Girl Talk, Taking It Deeper, that it features a podcast as well as a blog of women from 13 to 50-something. We're looking for a 70-something blogger right now. And you can comment on the blog. There's also a section there that you can send us comments. And if you also want to go directly to the book site, you can go to www.mebeforewe.com. They all go to the same site, but that one will take you, mebeforewe.com will take you directly to the book site.
Excellent. And I'd like to share this with the listeners as well. This book is designed to challenge and guide women to create the relationships they want instead of the ones they often find themselves stuck in. This book is packed with stimulating questions to uncover what's true for you, daring you to get downright real, and I mean this book does, real about yourself and your relationships. Powerful techniques to change old habits that sabotage your dreams. Real life experiences shared by the author, her friends, and her clients. And this book is indeed everything that these words that I have shared with all of you tonight. That website address is daretoliveyou.com. The title of this book is Choosing Me Before We, Every Woman's Guide to Life and Love. And I want to encourage the men out there that are tuned into this radio show, you can actually utilize this book for yourselves also to really empower yourself, to really dive in into getting to know yourself better. Wouldn't you agree, Christine?
It's true. I mean, I joke, but it's true. I had to pick a pronoun. You know, I was writing the book, and I kept moving pronouns around. And so I said, okay, I'm going to pick the pronoun that I know the most, which is I'm a she, and I am with a he. And there's all kinds of variations on that. And I've given this book to many of my clients who are males, and also, you know,
females that aren't into the he's that I'm really, really attracting a she, and it's just a matter of changing the pronouns around. And I also actually found that a lot of men are buying the book for their daughters because they want their daughters to have great relationships. They don't necessarily know how to talk to them about it, so they give them the book. And it's that kind of book you can give them that isn't going to be make them mad. It's actually going to show that you care. And friends buy this for friends. That happens a lot, too.
Thank you. I also wanted to share this link with all of you as well, and it's Girl Talk, Taking It Deeper. That link is www.letsgirltalk.com. I'd like to encourage all of you to go and explore that link as well. Christine, it has been a true honor. You're an amazing, amazing young lady. I'm truly honored that you came to share yourself with all of us. And I know that the listeners want to personally thank you as well. It's been a great show. Thank you.
Well, thank you, and thank you to all the listeners for listening, and thank you for having me on, Maloney. It's been fantastic, and I just feel so blessed to be able to share this message and that it came through me and that I can go out and share things that and questions and perspectives that can help people find the love that they're looking for both inside themselves and in their relationships. I can't think of any better way to spend my life.
Well, keep us posted and send me those press releases, okay?
You bet.
Really high support in the work you do. On that note, I'd like to say goodnight to all our listeners, and remember to be kind to yourself and to others. Good night, Christine, and good night.
Good night.
To all out there. Good night.
Maybe one day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself and learn to fly? I've always heard that mirrors never lie, but that's not true because I see a man but feel a child. There are some of us who can hear a voice inside, a truthful voice that says, yes, you were born to fly, you were born to fly. We were born to fly high. We were born to fly. And so was I. I ask myself, what will I come to be? I have a choice now, so I guess it's up to me.